Good morning. Today is Monday, March 2nd, 2019. Larry and I are traveling, and we were unable to record yesterday, so we're doing it today. We'll close the series today with part 3, focusing on putting on. A little review of parts 1 and 2, with some expansion, is really in order to funnel our thoughts into the closing of this series. Although we do bear in mind that there is never a closing of any subject in God's Word. As we continue in our pursuit of knowing and believing and growing in our relationship with our Heavenly Father, we should always expect expansions to our thoughts, our knowledge, our wisdom, and certainly our understanding. In part 1, we read 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 in the New English Translation, that the God-breathed Word provides for our training in righteousness, so that we would be capable and equipped for every good work. Righteousness refers to the state of a person being as they ought to be. It would signify integrity, virtue, purity of life, being right, a correctness of thinking, feeling, and acting. And in Romans 6:13 in the New Living Translation, it speaks of righteousness and unrighteousness. And that is what this series is about, putting off the trappings of unrighteousness and putting on the clothing, the garments, godly garments of righteousness. Romans 6:13 in the New Living says, "Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin." So that's obviously describing unrighteousness. And any part of our body certainly includes all of our cognitive operations, our mind, the heart of our mind, the areas where we figure things out and make decisions for how we're going to live, how we're going to be. The verse continues, "Instead, give yourself completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God." That's righteousness. And the point to be made is that in genuine righteousness, God and His gift of Holy Spirit is at the very center of that transformation from unrighteousness to righteousness. First, the sacrifice and works of Jesus Christ legally purchased our righteousness. And secondly, in our manner of conduct since that time, the Holy Spirit works in our hearts to accomplish our righteous living. So as we talked a lot about last week, it's not a matter of replacing old habits with different ones, with new ones. It is a matter of our ongoing spiritual transformation from the inside out. In sonship, God made us legally righteous through the accomplishments of Christ. But in our fellowship with God, we choose, or not, to live righteously. That's the crux of our putting off and our putting on. Through our belief in and our confession of Christ, we receive sonship. By our choice of conduct, we enter into, sustain, and enjoy fellowship with God, and of course that fellowship with others who are in fellowship with God. When we look at 3 John verse 2, we read about that prosperous journey, and that journey that you would prosper and be in health. It's talking about the time frame between the new birth all the way to the gathering together. And that trip, that journey, it aligns. It lines itself up with the prosperity of our spiritual life. You think of Proverbs 4, 23, where it talks about guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it come the issues of life. Well, in that heart, we lay the map. And then in our doing, we follow that map. So we want to make sure that map is well laid. We want to have that prosperity in our spiritual life. So really, if we are going to have health and prosperity, that good journey in life, according as our soul prospers, doesn't that make you want to have a closer fellowship with God, to be more mature in your spiritual understanding? And you know, when we read in 1 Corinthians 2:9, that scripture about eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor ever imagined the things which God has prepared for them that love him, doesn't that interest you into loving him even more? Of course. When we see what God has set for us, it always has a wonderful reason to get there. So putting off unrighteousness and putting on righteousness, it's not to be a painful, dreaded, robotic means of replacing evil habits with godly habits. It is so much more than gaining mastery over a bad habit, as we looked at last week. Putting off and putting on is a spiritual transformation from within that cleanses our hearts at the very root of our thoughts and intents. It affects our appetites in life, our hunger for God. We'll pursue a sacred understanding from our Father. We will seek him and we will find him. We will desire a new diet, one that feeds our thoughts with love and light. We will digest that life that is in the Word of God. His truths feed us and in turn nourish us for the putting off and the putting on, to transform us from within. Psalm 37:3 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." We're going to be nourished. Trust in the Lord. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light." He shall bring it forth. He shall bring it forth. "Thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday." When we are delighting ourselves in the ways of the Lord, our hearts tenderly open to receive him into our lives. We trust him, and we extend our free will permission to receive all the blessings which await us, which are his will to give us, his passionate desire, his wish above all things for that prosperous journey. In Romans 13:12, it says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Let us cast off, disavow, disrobe, and even more so, renounce the works of darkness, putting on the armor of light. And I'd like to focus the rest of this teaching time on a section in Ephesians chapter 4. We'll look at the words we'll look at the works of darkness that we are to renounce and see what we should put on. Starting in verse 17, Ephesians 4:17, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity or the emptiness of their mind." And here Paul is declaring and exhorting the believers that their lives should not be governed with a carnal mind. We do not want a carnal mind at the wheel of our life, driving us around. Vanity is simply emptiness concerning results. It's a waste of time. Verse 18 goes on, "Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." And you know, darkened means that we willfully deprive ourselves from the light. Having our feelings and desires deprived of the nourishment that comes from God. So it's only obvious that our understanding and our insights will fail. They won't be trustworthy. And we will walk headlong into a totally unavoidable mess. It really is avoidable, but not if we willfully deprive ourselves. And living as unbelievers live with that defective understanding and that willful ignorance, it's kind of a self-alienation. We hear the talk about being alienated from the life of God. Well, it's a willful alienation if we choose to walk as carnal Christians. Verse 19 tells us what happens. "Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." And lasciviousness is characterized by moral impurity. It is the absence of restraint, and it soils the clean. Starting at verse 20, I would like to finish most of this chapter reading from the New International Version. It goes, "That, however, is not the way of life you've learned. When you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind." And that's exactly where this putting on, this putting off, this putting on happens. It's in the attitude of our minds. The Holy Spirit makes us new in the attitude of our minds. We put on the new self. When God created your gift of Holy Spirit in you, you were created to be like God. Ephesians 4:24, "And to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." And of course, being like God is in his holiness. We aren't going to become creators all of a sudden. We aren't in the shoes of Lucifer wanting to be like God. This is being like God in righteousness and holiness, walking and demonstrating his nature. Verse 25, "Therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body." And, you know, here's a place where we might need to begin to expand our thinking concerning lies. Because here it says to put off falsehood. And in the same verse, it instructs us what we should do instead. And doesn't that indicate that speaking the truth to our neighbor is the opposite of telling a falsehood? You know, we we would not mischaracterize the truths of God's word in order to manipulate others. The devil wants us to think that a falsehood or a lie is simply about the accurate length of a fish. And you know, it's way, way more than that. Falsehoods are speaking the truth in an inaccurate way to bring about something for ourselves. And that is not good. So we want to speak the truth to our neighbor. We want to speak the truths that build them from one truth to another, that encourage them, that remind them of the hope that we have. And in verse 26, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. The King James Version translates this phrase, do not let the sun go down upon your wrath. And I like that one well also. The word for wrath is used one time. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry or upon your wrath. The sin in anger is that you allow yourself to be aroused with this emotion and you proceed with an action that is born from this exasperation. You allow the anger to provoke you to an ungodly action that will hurt, repay, recompense another. And the word clearly tells us that we are not to recompense evil with evil. No, don't let the sun go down while you're steaming around thinking of some way to get even with another person or how to hurt them as a repayment for anything. Verse 27 goes on to say, do not give the devil a foothold. Verse 28, anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Now, kind of like the falsehood scenario, there is really a broader understanding to consider for stealing. The word is Strong's G2813. And it's the word klepto, K-L-E-P-T-O. Kleptomania comes from this word. And according to the Cleveland Clinic, kleptomania is a type of impulse control disorder. It's a mental illness that involves the repeated failure to resist impulses or urges and to act in ways that are dangerous or harmful. It's where one steals for no reason other than an uncontrolled desire to do so. And you might see this coming. Guess where else the word klepto is used? John 10:10. Jesus said, the thief cometh not. The only reason the thief comes, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Quite contrary, Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So you see, the devil, he's a kleptomaniac. He doesn't want what you have. He's not even going to use it. He simply is out of control, not wanting you to have it. He does not want you to have a life that is above the ordinary measure. So he goes from sunup to sunset trying to steal it away from you. So likewise, with the insight into this word, we do not want to steal from a brother or sister in Christ. We rejoice that they have what God has blessed them with. We don't want to tear them down. We work hard with our hands to share with those in need. And the word for hand is very interesting. It's Strong's G5495. And it's the hand in the sense of symbolizing God's might, God's activity, and God's power. We've heard the saying, God has no hands but our hands. Well, our hand should uphold and preserve the hand of God, so to speak. The hand is used literally or figuratively of power and as a means or as an instrument. The Holy Spirit will move us from stealing from believers to upholding them. We work with our hands. We study the Word. We live out righteousness for God. We do it to glorify Him. We do it so that people can see His very nature. And that is how we do the opposite of stealing from a brother or sister in Christ. That's the opposite of stealing. These truths that we read here in Ephesians 4:29, the things we're supposed to put on, especially when you compare them to the things we are to put on, these truths deserve our meditation, our thought, and our asking God for greater understanding. Verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Well, nothing we say is going to benefit somebody who doesn't listen, obviously. King James Version translates unwholesome talk as corrupt communication. That would be any talk that has the power to corrupt another. The Holy Spirit in us will move us from this corrupt communication syndrome to speech which is good, which is beneficial. God's speech will edify others. It will build them up. It will minister grace unto them. And verse 30 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. The word for grieve in this verse 30, elsewhere it's translated in 1 Corinthians 2:4 as made you sorry. The Holy Spirit is in you. It is your gift. It is your seal of redemption. Don't make it sorry. Don't grieve it. We'll finish verse 31 and 32. I'd like to go back to reading from the King James Version. Verse 31, it says, let all bitterness, bitterness refers to evil speaking, and wrath or passion, and anger. It's the word orge, which is a desire that has come to mean anger, as in the strongest of all passions. And clamor, it's an outcry signifying controversy. And evil speaking is slander or injurious speech to another's good name. But it is also a reproachful speech, injurious to representing the nature of God. And we're to let those things be put away with all malice. And that word malice simply means don't have that desire to injure. All these things we are to put off are not shallow things. They're things that injure believers' lives, that get them doubtful in their thinking, that cause them to swerve and miss truths and get them to walk contrary to who they are in Christ. No, we do not have a desire to injure, either in our talks or our walks, the life of another believer. A desire to injure anyone along any of these involvement causes malignancies. They eat away, they destroy. And now verse 32 sums up the whole of our righteous garments as pure white linen. And you think of all the things we looked at, I believe it was in part 2, about the linen, the things that it did, the comforting, the speed of the healing when wounds were wrapped in linen, the antibiotic nature of the linen, the preservation, even in radioactive materials, things like that. Living this way, living righteously, our lives will be healing, atoning. Our lives will minister and will be motivated by agape love. We will lay up for ourselves rewards in heaven. And verse 32 says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." I'd like to look at Ephesians 6:11 to just look at some other verses about putting on. "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Righteousness will help you stand against a devil who wants to klepto, who wants to be a kleptomaniac to the things that God has given you. Colossians 3:10 talks about, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." And in verse 12 it says, "Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering." And verse 14, "And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." It puts it all together for God. And, you know, the many aspects of putting on, being transformed. But we have to give the process some food. It can't run on empty. I do want to close with the truth that God is God. It's kind of a disclaimer, I suppose, in a way. His ways, his thoughts, they're higher than all of us put together. So certainly nothing we share in any series that we do or any teaching is the fullness of God's heart and ability. We don't really know the fullness of God's heart and ability. I'm certainly not going to challenge that. But God looks up on the heart of every individual. He knows the ins, the outs. He knows what is going on from morning to night. And that's what he honors when he is overlooking his children, when he is working with mankind. We cannot judge by our five senses. Another's going to God to find him may not be visible to our senses' eyes, because we just simply should not judge another. God is in charge of that, and he has his ways of working with people to get them from one point to another. We can never belittle in our minds the vast working of the Holy Spirit, the way that God works in people's lives. But our aim in this series is to steer you in a clear direction for setting yourself up for genuine spiritual growth, that with nourishment from God's word, you will continue to flourish in your understanding, and certainly to the end that your fellowship with God is full of joy. And not only your fellowship with God, but your fellowship with other believers. And that you would be able to assist and build others in the church of God. That having put on the righteousness of God, your journey all the way to the gathering together will be prosperous. It will be healthy. So God bless you. I hope you've enjoyed the series, and we'll be with you next week. Love you all.